This is Christmas, the day we celebrate the birth of the Christ, the Lamb, who sacrificed for our sins. And it is a family day. And, you know, there's a lot of folks who are, at home with their families. But I praise God for them, and I praise God for you for being here. I tell you, this is the first time Christmas has fallen on a Sunday since I've been head pastor. And really, there's nowhere else I'd rather be. I mean, I have a family that I love dearly, but you guys are my family too, and it means so much to me to be here with you. And you know, there are a lot of families out there that fight and struggle, and they get their feelings hurt. And we'll do the same thing. We'll hurt each other. We'll let each other down. But see, there's a difference. You know, you've heard the phrase. Blood is thicker than water. You know, the blood of Christ is thicker than all. And there's something that binds us together that can never be torn apart, and that's the blood of Christ. That's our commitment and dedication to something bigger, someone bigger, Christ. We can get through anything together because we have Christ and we're dedicated to Him. And we can forgive each other, and we can get through the worst things in life. And this past year, we've had ups and downs. You know, this Christmas, we're sitting here without Shelley. We're sitting here without David Rogers. April Cox lost her, you know, sister-in-law yesterday. There's loved ones who have gone to be with the Lord, and maybe one day I'll preach a sermon, you know, every day is Christmas in heaven. Can you imagine being in heaven right now? But while we're here, while God is using us, we are one, and we are unified, and we can get through anything together. Together. We're a family. We're a family. And I praise God for being able to celebrate with my family, with you, this Christmas. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, you are everything. Everything. And as we gather together on this very special day, this most special day, we remember Christ Jesus, the baby Jesus that was born. He was born in a manger. Christ, God incarnate in flesh. A star announced his arrival. Magi traveled from afar to bring him gifts. But this baby was not born to receive, he was born to give. He was born to give himself, to offer himself as the only righteous sacrifice, to be slain. He was born as a lamb to be slain for the flock. Your flock, Father God. Thank you for faith that has drawn us to Jesus. Thank you for eternal life that comes only through Him. Thank you for our new family as we gather together in unity and love. Thank you, Father, for gift giving and gift receiving. But we wholeheartedly and open-mindedly, happily receive the gift you have to give, the gift of Jesus. So we acknowledge you, Father, as first in our life. Help us to live with you there for the rest of our lives. Bless us now. May your Spirit open our hearts and our minds to, as we open your word together. Touch us in the name of Jesus through your Spirit. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, once again, Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas. That was God talking back. This truly is the most wonderful time of the year. And this is the most wonderful day of the most wonderful time of the year. And it's really the most wonderful day for many reasons and on many levels. I mean, warm, cozy feelings and warm, cozy fires for family time and play time, for time off of work, eating food, opening presents, the giving and receiving of gifts. What was the best gift you received this Christmas? I mean, if you could only keep one gift, maybe you only got one gift, but if you could only keep one, what would you keep? I mean, what is it? Last night we spoke about God's gift to the world, his Christmas gift to the world, the Lamb, the only acceptable sacrifice for the sins of the world. And this morning we're going to expand on that message. Last night was kind of part one, God's Christmas gift. This morning is kind of a part two, God's Christmas present. And I want you to realize that God's gift to the world, as he gave the Lamb of God, that was the acceptable sacrifice for the sins of the world, that gift opened the way to his present, his Christmas present, which is his presence. His presence. God's gift to us is his presence with us. He is present, and that is our present. God is present with us, and that is his Christmas present to us. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the story of Jesus' birth as found in Matthew, Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And I will read through this passage, the birth narrative of Jesus in Matthew, but we're really going to focus on one verse. That's verse 23. Again, that's Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. We're going to have three short points this morning. We're going to talk about the Christmas prophecy. We're going to talk about the prophecy fulfilled Christmas presents. And we're going to talk about the Christmas blessing, which is the bookends. All right? Christmas prophecy, the prophecy fulfilled, Christmas presents, and Christmas blessing, the bookends. Again, last night we were in the same passage. We focused on Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. This morning we're focusing on Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. But if you have your Bible, let's read this passage together. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So our first point this morning is the Christmas prophecy. The Christmas prophecy. God's gift to the world, his gift of the only acceptable sacrifice for the sins of the world, the Lamb, his Christmas present to us, his presence, the birth of baby Jesus, the promised Messiah, the reason for the season, it all has its roots, its beginnings in ancient prophecy to Old Testament Israel. And sometimes, in order to understand the present, you have to go back to the past. For you guys, the past is that way. So if you have your Bibles, go to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7, the Christmas prophecy. Isaiah chapter 7. Now, very quickly, remember during this time in history, the nation of Israel, God's people, the Jewish nation, was split into two nations. He had Israel to the north and Judah to the south. Israel pretty much always strayed from the Lord, and Judah kind of stayed close to the Lord on and off. All right? Isaiah chapter 7, let me read verse 1. It says, "When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it." Okay, so what we have going on here is in the southern nation of Judah, where Jerusalem is, in the southern nation of Judah, King Ahaz. Ahaz was king. In Israel to the north, you had Pekah as king. And in Assyria, you had Rezin. Rezin and Assyria, Pekah and Ahaz. Now, these two kings, the king of Assyria and the king of Israel, had joined forces, and they were going to march down, and they were going to try to invade the southern nation of Judah. We find this in verses 5 and 6, which says, "Aram, Ephraim," Ephraim is another name for Israel, "Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, 'Let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Tabeel king over it.'" So, you had these two nations, Israel and Assyria, coming together, marching down against Judah. King Ahaz is the king of Judah. He and the whole nation are shaking in their shoes because of these foreign invaders coming down towards them. And verse 2. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. They were scared to death. They were scared to death. These foreign invaders were coming down. And as a result of these foreign invaders coming against Judah, King Ahaz and the people of Judah, they were in fear. King Ahaz considered making a deal with the enemy, God's enemies. But God sent the prophet Isaiah to King Ahaz to tell him not to make a deal with the devil, to be strong, because God was with his people. And the Lord offered King Ahaz a sign that God would be with his people. And the sign is found in Isaiah chapter 7, verses 14 through 16. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid to waste. I quote one author as he says this. The sign is simple. A young woman will give birth to a child whom she will name Emmanuel. And by the time he is old enough to know the difference between right and wrong, the land of the two neighboring kings who frightened Ahaz so much will be desolate. And this is exactly what took place. Within a few years, Assyria and Ephraim, the two kingdoms that plotted against Ahaz, had been annihilated. So the sign was simple. Enemies coming against Judah, God's people. He was about to make a deal. God said, don't make a deal. Don't make a deal. I'm with you. I will take care of you. I'll give you a sign. The sign is a virgin will be with child. Now, understand that this did happen. This happened during the time of King Ahaz. This virgin was probably one of his concubines, but realize that she wasn't a true virgin in the sense of what we think. She was probably a young girl who was unmarried, and she was referred to as a virgin because she wasn't married. Again, she's probably one of the king's concubines. There's only one true virgin in the history of the world who's given birth, and that is Mary, the mother of Jesus. But what we find is the sign of a son being born, a son who would be called Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. God with us. God. God can do what we cannot do. Nothing's impossible for him. That's what Luke says. Luke 1:37, nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. I mean, if we take that phrase and just try to break it down, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. God, who created all that there is that has been created, he set the stars in space. He set the earth spinning on its rotation. You know, he set the boundaries for the ocean, and he created the depths of the sea. God, God. There's nothing impossible for God, and God is with us. In fact, Israel's name basically means God fights. God fights. Ahaz was about to make a deal with the enemy when God has promised to fight for his people. And we don't know much about the initial fulfillment of this prophecy. Apparently, there was a child that was born, and apparently within a few years of his birth, neither Assyria nor Israel was a threat to Judah anymore for a period of time. God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. And even though this prophecy was fulfilled back in the days of Ahaz, it took on typological significance. And what that means is it happened, but it pointed to something larger that would happen. This prophecy was fulfilled, but it pointed to a larger, more ultimate fulfillment of the prophecy. And that's what we find in first century Judah, just outside of Jerusalem. After a period of 400 years of divine silence, God did not speak to his people because of the people's sin. And all of a sudden we have the sign. It's the same sign. A virgin will be with child, and she will call him Emmanuel, God with us. God would once again be with his people. God would once again be with his people, and God would do what only God can do, bring deliverance. God brought deliverance to the people back in the time of Ahaz, deliverance from Assyria, from Israel, deliverance. But now God has promised, as he is with his people once more through the Christ child, he has promised once again to do what only God can do, bring deliverance. But this time it's not deliverance from foreign invaders or foreign dictators. It's deliverance from the enemy within, the enemy that has always been present, the enemy that has always separated God's people from him? Sin. Deliverance from the enemy of sin. And the Old Testament prophecy was fulfilled, yet it pointed forward in time to the ultimate fulfillment with the birth of the true Emmanuel, God the Son, whom is truly with us. The Christmas prophecy. The Christmas prophecy. All right, now go back to Matthew chapter 1. The Christmas prophecy leads to our second point, the prophecy fulfilled, Christmas presents. The prophecy fulfilled, Christmas presents. Let's, Matthew chapter 1, let's start in verse 21. This was our verse last night. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. God's gift is Jesus, right? The Lamb. God's gift is the Lamb through whom our sins are washed away, made, we are cleansed before him. And just like I said last night, the first time in the Bible that we have someone making an offering to God, which he finds acceptable, is Abel. Abel offers God a perfect lamb. Firstborn male without defect. And that offering would become the offering that God instituted among his people, the offering, how they were to atone for their sins. And in time, even though, you know, Abel gave God a perfect lamb, God gave us the perfect lamb, Jesus. Firstborn son without defect. He knew no sin. He was out without blemish. And the perfect lamb that God gives us is able to save our eternal souls. Jesus is able to save. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. What prophet? Isaiah. What did he say? Isaiah chapter 7, what we just read. This is fulfilled. This is fulfilled. And remember what's happening here. An angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, this is happening to fulfill the prophecy. An angel from heaven, a messenger from God, said, this is the ultimate fulfillment. This is it. This is it. What is it again? This prophecy, verse 23, and this is our focus this morning. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is the fulfillment. An angel from heaven came down and said, this is it. This is the fulfillment. And what has been fulfilled? God with us. God with us. I can't stress that enough, okay? That's the whole message this morning. God with us. In this passage, we find three names for Jesus, basically. We find Jesus, which means the Lord saves. We find Christ, which means anointed one, Messiah. We find Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is with us. He saves. He's the Messiah. God with us. God's Christmas gift to the world. Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave what? A Christmas gift, because it happened on Christmas. And his Christmas gift brought his Christmas present, which is his presence. He is present. He is present with his people. I mean, this is what God's people have wanted all along, to be with their God. God with us. God's present is the fact that he is present. God's Christmas present is the fact that he's present with us. In Mark chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus looked and he said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. If God is present and all things are possible with God, then who or what shall we fear? You know? I mean, really. I mean, what can harm us if he is with us? All things are possible through he who strengthens us through his presence. I mean, in his presence we find faith and hope and love and purpose and the fruit of the Spirit. He will never leave us nor forsake us. That's his Christmas present. It's his presence, and it's ours to enjoy for eternity. Eternity. God's gift had to be realized. The Lamb had to be born in order to be slain, slaughtered, sacrificed, because through that sacrifice came God's presence. How could God, because in Israel, God dwelt in the temple, right? You went to the temple to be with God. Now our bodies are the holy are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if God is going to dwell within us through His Spirit, if our bodies are the temple, something has to change. The enemy has to be removed. And the way the enemy was removed so that God could dwell with us, could be with us, was the lamb being sacrificed, which we accept through faith. It's really pretty simple. It's divinely complex, but it's really pretty simple. And this present, God's presence, is hand-delivered and personally secured in our life through His Holy Spirit. God's Christmas present is the Lamb through whom He forever, forever became truly present with us. We will be with Him forever. The Christmas prophecy, a virgin will be with child. The prophecy fulfilled, Christmas presents. It was fulfilled with the birth of Jesus from Mary's womb. And this leads to our third point, which is the Christmas blessing, the bookends. The bookends. You know, this is something tangible. You can think in your head, if you can open something, it'd be bookends. All right? What are bookends? Bookends are a literary device that biblical writers use to emphasize an important point. When they were writing the gospel, they would start with a theme or a subject and end with a theme or a subject, a bookend on each side. They start with faith, end with faith. Start with love, end with love, a bookend. I want to quickly point out two bookends in the Bible that speaks to the absolute certainty of God's Christmas present, His presence in our lives. The first one is pretty simple. You could have guessed it. The entire Bible. The entire Bible is bookended with God's promise to be with us. At the very beginning of the Bible, you have Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They are in God's presence. They are with Him. They walk in the cool of the day with Him. They're with God. Yet they're duped by the devil. They buy into the satanic lie. They eat of the forbidden fruit, and they're cast out of the garden. They're cast out of His presence. But where does it start? In the garden with God in His presence. And basically what happens is this starts the entire biblical, historical, and future narrative, culminating in what? A return to His presence. A return to His presence. I mean, that's the Christmas present. That's His Christmas present to the world, and it's received by faith through Jesus Christ. The child Jesus makes it possible for all believers to ultimately see God's face as we will dwell with Him for eternity. Let me read a few verses at the end in Revelation. Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And these pronouns, they... that's us. We will be with God. We will be in His presence. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. We will mourn no longer. We will cry no longer. We will experience no more pain. This is us. This is us. Revelation 22, verse 4 says, they will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. We will see His face. We will see His face. You know what? Adam and Eve, they started in the garden, but we're going to end with God. They started with God. We're going to end with God. That's where we're going, in God's presence. We will see His face. That's the promise that comes through the Lamb, the bookend. All right, one more. The second bookend I want to point out is simply the Gospel of Matthew, the entire Gospel of Matthew. What does the Gospel of Matthew start with in chapter 1, right after the genealogy of Jesus? And that's very important because it proves his Jewishness and the fact that he is of the line of David. But what comes in Matthew chapter 1 just after the genealogy? The birth of Jesus, the birth of Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. The very first thing that happens in Matthew is Jesus is born, God with us. Now, what's the very last sentence in Matthew? Matthew 28, the very last sentence says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is speaking. I am with you always. God is with us, I am with you always. God is with us, I am with you always. God is with us, I am with you always. The bookend. God is with us, I am with you always. I am with you always. The beginning and the end. God is with us and He always will be. Merry Christmas. The bookends. That's something you can tangibly put on the shelf of your brain, the bookends. So I know you got some sweet presents this Christmas. I know you're dying to get back there and play with all those electronic gadgets. But also know that you, Christians, you have received the greatest gift of all. Him. Him. His presence. God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. And this understanding is the root of all of our joy and our peace. This understanding is the bedrock of our faith that we stand on. This is how we can get through the trials and the tribulations. This is how we can say goodbye to Shelley, knowing we're going to see her again, and David Rogers. This is how we can do it, because we know that God is with us. We know that God is with us. And when God is with you, when God is for you, who can be against you? Romans 8:31. I mean, because when you're with God, when God is present with you, we're more than conquerors. Romans 8:37. Faith is knowing that God is with you. Faith is knowing that God is with you. And if you know that God is with you, you let God do what only God can do. You don't make deals with the devil, and you don't live in fear. Live by faith. Faith in the one true living God. You live by faith. Faith that God will do what only God can do. Deliver us. Deliver us. So take some time today, this blessed day, both by yourself and with your family, to acknowledge and thank God for his precious gift, the gift of Jesus. Because remember, God's gift to the world is the Lamb, the acceptable sacrifice that atones our sins, that pays for our sins. And God's gift makes way for his present, his Christmas present, which is his presence. Without the Lamb, without Jesus, he would not be present with us. But praise God for Jesus, because he is present with us. This precious, precious gift. Jesus is the Christ. He is the promised Messiah, whom also is called Emmanuel, God with us, because he ushers us into the presence of the Father from now until evermore. So have a very Merry Christmas, and know that Christmas really is merry when you have Christ as your Savior. Well, I invite the praise team to come back up. God with us. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, then what a wonderful day to do it on Christmas. As you give yourself to God and God gives you eternity. It's something you can do in the privacy of your mind, in your heart, and your soul. Just say, God, save me. Save me. And he will. That's his promise. And he promises to be with us always, always, always. If you need a special prayer, I'm here, but please stand, and we'll close with a song, What Child Is This?